Hallelujah. Chapter 17. Begin to read from verse 5. I don't want to read the whole chapter. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 6. Verse 5. So he went and did according to the unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt in the brook of Cherith, and that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And she was going in to fetch it, and he called to her and said, Bring me, and I pray, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal, and a barley, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I might go in and dress it for me and my son, and that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Zechariah chapter 6. And verse 1. And I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of brass. And in the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot was a black horse, and in the third chariot was a white horse, and in the fourth chariot was grizzled and bay horse. And then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, These are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from the standing before the Lord of all the earth. By the grace of God today, I want to preach Always Enough. Always Enough. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you for the power and the authority of this day. We worship and we praise the name of the only living God in a mighty and a powerful way today. We pray that you would anoint these lips of clay today. Help us, God, to understand the word of God and to open our hearts and our souls and our spirits to what you have to say to us today. Direct us and guide us and lead us, and give those, Lord God, who don't have and understand what we understand, the divine insight and touch of your word and your spirit today. And we'll give you glory. We'll honor your name. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. Always enough. There is a very special phenomena about being a Christian. And unfortunately, many people today who claim to be Christians don't experience that phenomenon. They don't experience that phenomenon. Even though they have a book that we use, and we claim and we understand that this book is the Word of God. The Word of God is not designed to make sense to the human makeup. I think that's something that we have to understand. It is not designed to make sense to the human makeup. And one reason why it will not make sense to the human makeup, because the human makeup within itself has fallen into sin. And so therefore the same things that, or the same attributes and insight and understanding that we might have had if we never fell into sin, we don't have them. The power of God is not diminished in the midst of humanity. He's still the same God. He still has the same power. But because of sin, man has to find the pattern that God has for humanity. See, because of sin, sin has designated to us that God has had to bring forth a pattern. When we look at Genesis chapter 3 and the promise that the Lord gave, he immediately gave a promise of things that needed to take place for the redemption of humanity after man had sinned. He immediately spoke things and that were very important to the redemption of man. And sometimes we, even Christians, overlook what the Lord and the promises that the Lord has made to humanity. In Genesis chapter 3 and 14, "And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle." We don't know the multitude of that curse, but we know that a four-legged creature came and became a creature that began to walk and to eat dust and just slide through the ground. Does anyone understand that? Is that understandable to your human makeup? The only thing you understand is that a creature that had legs no longer had legs because of a curse. You don't know what the Lord did in order to remove those legs from the snake. But the problem is not necessarily whether or not you understand it. The problem is do you believe it? Do you believe that it actually happened? I think that's the biggest problem with people when dealing with the Bible, even folks that got the Holy Ghost. Do you really believe that it actually took place? What I'm trying to get away from and what I'm trying to get into the church today is that we have to get away from the fairy tale syndrome of Scripture. Because if you get into the fairy tale syndrome of Scripture, you lose and you miss the power of God in the Word of God. Some people only see that as a fairy tale. That's what took place. So once you get involved with that in your thinking, in your mind, you miss the power of God. And every scripture that relates to a certain thing that God has done from a miraculous position, especially when it comes to Old Testament position, you get into the same thing. It's just like when a person talks about the battle between David and Goliath. It automatically, a fairy tale syndrome comes in. We don't see the magnitude of the power of what took place. And so therefore, they miss the position of victory that's sustained within that particular portion of Scripture. They miss the victory. They misunderstand the victory because they don't see the Word of God as being the Word of God. If God said it, it happened. It took place. But do you believe that it took place? Or do you believe that there's got to be some scientific position about it? If there's got to be a scientific position about it, apparently it's not clear in the Word of God. So I like to see the scientists explain how God took a four-footed creature and made him out of a creature that would just slide in the ground. Of course, there's got to be some type of phenomenal position on that. This is the problem with our thinking today. And this is why the church does not have the victory and the power that it needs to have. Because God has come to us to make us simple creatures. Simple. Simple-minded. Oh, simple-minded. Because the only way you can touch the things of God is being simple-minded. If you're not simple-minded, you can't touch it. You can't tap in to the promises. Because you got all this thing confused in your mind about what should be. You can't believe God for greater things. Because the only one that can believe God for greater things are someone that is simple-minded. That's what the Holy Ghost does to us. It takes us back and unravels all the junk and all the garbage. It unravels all that. All the knowledge. It says, ever learning but never coming to the truth. The knowledge of the truth. And so the Holy Ghost unravels all of that. And so you find yourself putting stuff in the garbage can. You start taking it out of your mind and you start putting it in the garbage can and say, man, that don't. Because then you begin to see clearly. And as you begin to see clearly, God can then begin to perform greater things in your life. Guess what? That flesh does not understand. And so sometimes, many times, the church needs to subject itself to a place and a condition where God can perform a miracle. Where God can perform a miracle. We don't put ourselves in that position because we live in an information society. You've heard me say it before. And in this information society, we've got to collect all this information. And all that information distorts our walk with God. I'm not saying we're supposed to be imbeciles. I'm not saying that we're supposed to be uneducated people with no education. But there's got to be a balance act between the world and what we have in the world and the things of God. And in dealing with the balance act, I have to deal with the impact and the understanding that God wants to do something in my life that humanity cannot do. And so the Lord had ministered to me about the other day, last week, in fact, that I was right there, and the Lord ministered to me, and he began to talk to me about how the church doesn't trust God for provisions. We don't trust the Lord in all that he says that he will do. And the Lord brought to my attention Zechariah chapter 6. And of course, Zechariah chapter 6 is in relationship to Revelation chapter 6 and the opening of the four seals. And of course, naturally, I'm a strong believer that Scripture, I know that Scripture interprets Scripture. Amen? And so as I relate these two Scriptures together, the Holy Ghost ministered to me, and he's ministered to me about this years ago, about those four horsemen or four spirits that go through the earth. And let me look at Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 and 1. He said, I turned and lifted up my eyes, and I looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. And the mountains were made of brass. I thought about that. I assume that the mountains was a representation of sin. I assume that the mountains are a representation of sin, because brass or bronze is a representation of judgment. The mountain of man's sins. Between the two corridors, God brought forth four horsemen. Amen. Between the two corridors, and between these two mountains, and mountains of sin, and because these were made of bronze and of brass. And here is these four horsemen, or these four spirits, that came from between these two corridors. It talks about the first horse, which was a red horse, and the second horse, which was a black horse, and the third horse, which was a white horse, and the fourth horse and chariot, and the chariots gristled and bay horses, and of course, and then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? Now, what I'm trying to do is, I don't want you to look. You will never be able to see what I'm talking about in the flesh. You will not understand what I'm saying right now in the physical. You've got to get a spiritual picture of what God's trying. This is the problem in the church today. You've got to be able to see what God's trying to say to you spiritually. You've got to get a vision, because without a vision, the people shall perish. You've got to get a spiritual vision of what God's saying. These are not mere words that God speaks to the church. He speaks to the church because he wants the church to get a spiritual understanding, so therefore that the church, in whatever day it is in, will have full direction of what God is doing. Scripture tells me no man knoweth the day or the hour, but the Spirit of God knows. Am I right? Do you not have the Holy Ghost? See, the Spirit of God inside you know. Your flesh don't know. Your flesh doesn't understand. But there's a spirit that's resident inside of you that God can get in contact with through his word. That he can resurrect that spirit in his word to give you a visual spiritual picture of what God is about to do. Amen. This is how the church survives. Amen. The church does not survive off a political situation. Amen. We need to transcend all that. Amen. We don't live off legislation, because righteousness cannot be legislated. Amen. We are the church, and we need to stand up and be the church. Amen. Hallelujah. But you can't stand up and be the church if you can't see in the realm of the Spirit. If you can't see in the realm of the Spirit. And so what I'm saying right now is, you've got to be able to see in the Spirit. You've got to visualize what the Lord is saying in the realm of the Spirit. So here are two mountains. And these two mountains are mountains that are made of brass, which are symbols of two corridors of sin. In other words, the sins of man and humanity and upon the earth. And the Lord sends forth these four spirits. Now, here's what the Lord showed me. You can have grace and judgment at the same time. Does that make sense? God can give grace and have judgment at the same time. You know why? Because when he judges certain positions upon the face of the earth, he gives man opportunities to repent. He gives man an opportunity to repent. The man in the flesh does not see that. He will not understand that God is giving man an opportunity to repent. The church should have that ability. The church should have that ability to realize that what the Lord is doing. And so therefore, here these four spirits come out. And these four spirits, of course, represent different things. I'm not going to get into all that, because that's another Bible study within itself. Hallelujah. They have a tremendous reputation. In fact, and I'm going to tell you one thing, all four of these spirits are in our midst today. So don't be waiting on them. If anybody tell you they need to wait on them, no, the four seals have already been opened. Amen. The four seals have already been opened, and they're in our midst right now. Amen. And if you don't believe and understand that, then you don't see in the realm of the Spirit. The four seals are open. This was the prophetic word. This is where it was prophesied. And the book of Revelations is actually the actual position of it within itself. But this is where it is prophesied. And if it's prophesied, the Lord prophesied, and he said that these are four spirits. We have these spirits among us today. But let's go to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1. And when I saw the Lamb open the books, because remember, the spirits are... Now listen, if you understand the prophetic tongue of what was said in Zechariah, what did it tell you? It told us that these spirits were sent from what? From the Lord. These spirits were sent from the Lord. That's what it, am I right? Is that not what it said? When he asked the question, now I might be busting somebody's theology here, but I don't care. That's right, I'll tear it apart. Because you know what? The word of God makes a difference. Now, it tells us that, it tells us in Zechariah 5, And it says, and the angel answered and said unto him, these are four spirits from heaven, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. So in other words, these four spirits were dispatched by the Lord. Scripture interprets Scripture. And then when we deal with the actual of Revelation chapter 6, and he says, I saw when the Lamb, who is the Lamb? Ain't that the Lord? Is that the Lord? And I saw the Lamb open the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. This is the activity of what's taking place in the spiritual realm. Amen. And I saw and behold a white horse that was set on him and had a bow, and we won't get into that, and a crown, and hallelujah, was given unto him, and he went forth and conquering to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him and set thereon to take from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard the voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. See that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Prophetic tongue and a prophecy as the seals are opened. And as those seals are opened, these different spirits begin to maneuver upon the face of the earth. The black spirit represents famine, economic problems, circumstances. What the black horse represents. Three measures of barley for a penny. That means that you get, that's all you get for one day's wages. It's always enough. I thought about the gas prices. Amen. You think about the gas prices? A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. See that thou hurt not the oil or the wine. And you know everything's connected to the oil, right? Everything. And everything's connected to a lot of other things that also affect us. And the church has to get a spiritual understanding of what God is allowing to come upon the face of the earth, so the earth can live above, so the church can live above these situations. It's not saying that we will not be affected. We will be affected. Amen. When I go to the PX and I buy that gasoline, I pay the same price as everyone else pays. I don't pay a different price. They don't put up a discount sign that says, well, he's a Christian. So since he's a Christian, he doesn't pay this price. Amen? I pay the same price. The same amount of money flows out of my pocket that would flow about out of anybody else's pocket. And you know what? I feel it the same way. Praise God. I feel it the same way. we have to understand that we live in the midst of where you have two branches of society. You have the haves and the have-nots. The middle class has been eradicated. Amen. So you might as well stop trying to live something that you aren't. You might as well just stop trying to live something that you aren't. Amen. You might as well deal with the reality of it, that you are in one of those two brackets. And I don't know anybody in this church that's in the bracket of the haves. Praise God. Some might be doing better than others, but we still ain't in the haves. We still have to deal with the struggles of our everyday life and the provisions that are in our lives from day to day. But we also have to understand that God does not desire that the church has the same results as the world. I'm going to hit home now. It is not God's will that the church has the same results as the world. Because if the church has the same results as the world, then the church is not living for God. Because why? Because in the substance of what God brings are miracles, are provision. Sometimes the Lord lets us get in certain situations in life to break us, to break our will. Amen. So if you're struggling, the Lord's dealing with you. Amen. He wants to break us. He will not. See, the church, the world is worried about being broke in the pocket. That's their. That's because they live for the world. And because they live for the world, whatever they consume and whatever comes into their life is very important to them. It's important to them. And because all they can live is for the life that they know now. That's all they can live for. They don't have the insight or the possibility of insight that the Lord would want to place in your life. Because in your life, he can perform miracles. He can pay a bill that you can't even imagine paying. Hallelujah. He can open a door that you can't imagine ever could be opened. Because you know why? Because whatever God does is not supposed to make sense to the human makeup. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to make the church spiritual. Because as long as the church is not spiritual, it lives in a deficiency situation. Praise God. It lives in a deficiency. You live in a constant struggle that God never wants us to live in. Amen. It's not saying it's going to change the gas price. God's not going to change the gas price. Milk costs more, and eggs cost more, and everything costs more. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We go to the commissary and say, oh my goodness, that bottle of orange juice was $3 the other day, now it's $4.49. Help me, Lord, please. Hallelujah. And the sad thing is I got $400 short on my check. But I got to do what I got to do. Amen. And we have, and our children are standing there talking about give, give, give. their mouths are wide open like little birds ready to receive and consume anything that you bring forth. Huh? And you struggling, you stand there with a struggle, and you trying to take one quart and turn over four times. Huh? Amen? You're struggling. You're trying to deal in a situation that's difficult for you to deal in. Listen, y'all, God's trying to talk to you. God's trying to help you today. He does not want you to be subject to the position of the black horse. That's why he said preserve the oil and the wine. Praise God. Because when the world doesn't have, the church will. And we follow the provisions and the things of God. Oh, but if you could, listen, but you could be hard-headed if you want and think you can do it. You could be hard-headed if you want. You could take your own liberty if you want and do it the way you want to do it. But listen to this preacher today. Because God is trying to maintain and keep food on your table and clothes on your back and money in your pocket and a roof over your head. Hallelujah. Because I tell you what, you think, listen, don't you see what's happening? Don't you realize that people in America and in different parts of America and different, they're losing their homes. They're losing their homes. Thousands. Not 100, 200, thousands. To the point that so many people have lost their homes, it has affected not only the American economy, it has affected every economy on the global sense. Thousands. Now I want you to think about that. Then I want you to think about how much you can thank God that you still got something on the table. And the man ain't come and took your note, took your house yet. Amen? You got to think about it. You know what? We should be the most thankful people in the world. Because God gives us insight. God lets us know what's taking place. And sometimes what we do is we turn our head because we don't want to believe it. And you know what? We become foolish. God can't help us. Stop ducking from God. Do you hear me? Stop ducking. Step up to the plate. Let God deal with your life. Step up to the plate. Hey, amen. I'm talking to somebody here today. Step up to the plate. Praise God. The only thing that can happen to you is you become blessed. That's the only thing that can happen to you. Amen. In your own will, in your own way, you will curse your own life. Because God's ministering to people here today. You think he just talked to you? He talked to me too. Black horse has rolled my way. And then we get to Elijah. And we look at Elijah, and here is Israel in the midst of a drought. Everything's going bad. Am I right? Everything's going bad. My goodness, Elijah is probably thinking, why in the world did I do? I should never have prayed that prayer. But Elijah said, according to my word. He didn't say according to God's word. He said, according to my word, it shall not rain for the space of 3.5 years. Now here's Elijah standing here thinking, well, I ain't got no water. I ain't got no meat and no bread. What in the world am I going to do? But you know what? Because Elijah was a man of God, God could speak to Elijah and say, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the brook of Corinth. Head down there. And as you head down there, there's water there. It'll be able to sustain you for a time. And I guess in Elijah's mind, he might have thought, well, you know, it might be water down there, Lord, but where's the food? And the Lord said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a bird come in. And it's going to bring you bread in the morning and the evening and meat. A dirty bird, too. Isn't that something? The Lord didn't send it in with a dove. He sent it in with a raven. And the raven might have ate the meat. See, sometimes God does things like that
to show us his power. Now, who in the world would send a raven with meat in his mouth, knowing that the raven would probably eat the meat? But the Lord can command the raven to bring it in and feed him. Praise God. So he commanded that raven. Raven, go down there and get the food. And more likely, he might have been getting the food from Ahab's table. He might have been reaching Ahab's table. Ahab looked and said, hey, what's going on here? Where'd my steak go? What happened to my loaf of bread? Huh? And all of a sudden, he looked up and he see a bird, and he see this raven has took off with his steak and his bread. And Ahab is standing there thinking, well, this is happening quite often. Because I'm the king of Israel, and I'm the only one in this place that's eating. See, because you know why? Because in the position of eating in the midst of the black horse, the only ones that suffer is those who have not. Those who have still have. And so here is Ahab's freshly cooked steak. Headed towards Elijah. And look, Robert's standing there licking his tongue. That's right. And that's what Ahab was doing. I mean, that's what Elijah was doing, because he knew that steak was on the way. Because no one can provide for you better than what God can provide. No one can provide for you better than the Lord can provide. And so here he is, he's down there, and he's hanging out in the sun and enjoying himself and talking to the Lord, and the Lord's talking to him. And then all of a sudden, the brook dries up. And because, you know, listen, a man in the flesh always thinks about, well, where's my substance? And the Lord, listen, the Lord knows where you are. The Lord knows what you have need of. Amen. You know, it's just like if I see a man, if a man comes by my house and he's hungry, I'm not going to invite him in and say, well, let me pray for you. I'm going to invite him in and say, what you need to eat? Because if the flesh is in a disruptive situation, it cannot concentrate on the things of God. It can't concentrate on the things of God if it's in a disruptive situation. If you can't depend upon the promises of God, your mind is in a disruptive position. You can't concentrate on the things of God. You can't pray. You can't effectively go out and try to win souls, because you can't get your mind in the right area, in the right position. Because you're saying, hey man, you know, I looked in the ice box or in the cool trunk or in the refrigerator. I say ice box because I remember when they had ice boxes. And you open that door and you said, hey, ain't nothing in there but a glass of water. That's all that's in there is a glass of water. But ain't no bread up in there. Ain't no eggs up in there. Ain't nothing up in there. No one can provide for you like the Lord can provide. No one is willing to provide for you like the Lord is willing to provide. Hear the word today, y'all. Listen to it. Listen to this. Don't concentrate on nothing else. I don't care about the sound system. Let it go. The word of God is the most important thing that's said today. I can preach without it. Amen. You know why? Because I want the church to be blessed. I want the church to live above the circumstances and situations that we live in from day to day. Amen. And the only way you're going to do that is by and through the work and the word of the Lord. You're not going to do it because you're good and you have knowledge. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it because you got a good paying job. Because you can have a good paying job and one situation can come up and suck up all your funds. Am I right? Every nickel of savings that you got could come and destroy it all, just wipe it out. That ever happened to you? This happened to you, huh? This happened to me too, brother. All of a sudden you think you have something saved. Uh-oh, it's gone. But you know what you thank the Lord? Thank the Lord I had it. Thank the Lord I had it. Praise God. But that's how we feel. We, you know how we are. We humans. We want to be able to build up something. You know, we want to stockpile the finances. Am I right? If you don't, you're crazy. Everybody wants to stockpile the finances, right? But the have-nots don't have the ability to stockpile finances. Because the have-nots must consume everything they get as soon as they get it. Amen? It's like living from hand to mouth. Now, most of us, maybe some of us are not living quite in that stage, but we're pretty close. But I'm not saying that you're ever going to get to the point where you're going to stockpile it. But I'm saying one thing, that if you serve God, there will always be provisions. And so here, he went down to the woman, and as he went down to the woman, the Lord told him that there was a woman that would be there sustaining. And she was going to fetch it, and he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." And he said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and barley, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I might go in, dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now you think about that. She was realizing that it was, that whatever was left was left, and that was it. And she was prepared. She was prepared to take that little bit, place it together, eat it, and die. That's what she was prepared to do. That's sometimes the way we're prepared. We realize that there's no. Sometimes we think, well, you know, what else can we do? We're between a rock and a hard place. Don't look like we're going to be able to make it. Just give up the ghost. She resigned herself to that, and then all of a sudden, the man of God comes along and tells her to take her last meal and give it to him. Doesn't he have the audacity? I don't believe that Elijah knew completely what God would do. But since the Lord had told him that if he went down and that the woman would sustain him, he knew that God would do something. Amen. He knew that God would do something. See, this is where you've got to get beyond the fairy tale syndrome. Because if you don't get beyond the fairy tale syndrome, you will never, ever receive a miracle from God. You will not, it will not happen. You've got to get beyond the fairy tale syndrome. You've got to believe that God's talking to you. And God's trying to prepare you and to sustain you and let you know that if you serve him, he will not let your words fall to the ground. And so here's the man of God come along with his audacity. And not only that, is that, you know what? Here's what I like about this. What I like about this is the woman didn't know him. The woman didn't know the man. Amen.
Praise God. This is not like Barack Obama and Reverend James Wright. She didn't know the man. The man comes out and tells her what instructions to take. She has made a preparation to make this food and to die. And Elijah makes a demand upon her and says, listen, let me eat first. How many of y'all had that kind of faith? How many of y'all would take the food out of your mouth and your children's mouth, the last breath, and give it to the man of God? Huh? That woman was scared to death. Or she figured that, well, I'm going to die anyway. So it don't matter whether I die with a full stomach or with an empty stomach. Huh? How many of y'all had that kind of faith? These folks didn't have the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost. Do you have that kind of faith? I'm telling you this because God's going to challenge many of you. In fact, some of you are already in a position where you will be challenged. You will be challenged. And how you respond to your challenge will make a difference on how much food you got on your table and how well your bills are paid. Praise God. Oh, man, I don't want to hear that. You got to hear it because the black horse is already loose. And you got to have provisions because you are the children of God. And if the children of God are not eating, who's eating? Don't I say if God be for me, who can be against me? Well, God is for you. Don't you realize that? He is for you. But if you don't listen to his word, he can't do anything for you. He is for you. But are you for yourselves? Are you willing to listen to his word? Because he needs people that believe in him, not because of something they've seen, but because they believe in what God has done in their lives. It makes a difference. Amen. I didn't come to patty cakes. Hallelujah. If you came to patty cakes, you're in the wrong place. Amen. And if you didn't come to patty cake, and if you are patty caking, circumstance will wake you up. Circumstance that will come against your life will wake you up. It will wake you up. Many of you are put in a position of challenge. God is challenging every one of us. I hear everybody tell me, man, you know, Brother Greg, I never went through this like this before. I'm thinking, ooh, you're right. And I'm thinking in my mind, I didn't either, brother. Right. But I got to trust God. You know, brother came over to my house yesterday, sat down with me, ate dinner, me and him talked. Hey, Brother Greg, I never went through nothing like this before. I couldn't stand. But you know what he told me? He said, yeah, I'm going through it, but he said, you know, before, here was the back words. He said, before, I didn't serve the Lord the way I should have served him. He said, but now, I realize I have to. That's what the brother told me. I rejoiced with him. I said, that's all right. He said, I didn't do like I was supposed to be doing. I just went to church, did what I was supposed to do, so on and so forth, you know. He said, but now, I got to do something. And I said, you're right. You got to do something. You got to do something. Hey, some of you will come to that same position and that same challenge. It's got to be more than just come to church on Sunday and Wednesday night or whatever you do and so on and so forth. And you think that, well, I put my tithes in. I pay my tithes, my offering. Yeah, okay. Hallelujah. That's a good deal of it. But where's your heart at? Where's your spirit at? And so here's a woman. I want to close. I got to close. And so here's a woman and she dresses everything up for Elijah. And Elijah sits down there and takes that little cake or whatever and enjoys himself. And the woman goes back to look into enough for her and her son. And she ate that day. And she ate the next day. And she ate the day after. And she ate the next day. And she kept eating. I don't believe the cruise of oil never, I don't believe it ever came to a point that was any more than what it was before. But God had made a position of provision that every time that she went to that cruise of oil, it was always enough there. It was always enough there. Now, that's where we differ. We differ because we live in a society that tells us that we have to have plenty. I talk to people all the time, and people say, well, you know, I was about to retire, but since everything went bad and the stock market went bad, so on and so forth went bad, I lost a lot of money because they had a stockpile. Because people believe in stockpiles. And so what happens? They can't retire. They got to continue to work. You know what? They probably might not never retire. They might die working. You know why? Because the world has this sense of stockpiling. And the Lord is trying to show the church that he will always provide. Provision will always be there. Amen. I got the same mind. I think, well, you know, if I got a couple $100,000 in the bank, I feel pretty good by myself. Huh? But I never make it. You know, I never make it because God wants me to depend upon him. He wants me to depend upon him. If you don't want to depend upon God, you're in bad shape. I'm telling you, you're in bad shape if you don't want to depend upon God. Because you know what? You can get a stockpile, and that stockpile of cash can run out just like this. One situation can come along and just wipe it all out. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to use the word of God more than just a position of fairy tales. But help us really realize that there's real power in the word of God. God wants to be our provider. Not by circumstance. Not by conditions. He wants to fulfill promises in our life. He will do it. He will do it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that any of us are going, you know, I'm not prophesizing. But I know that every time something goes up and something changes, it's a bite on the pocket. You know, it's a bite on the pocket. I told my wife, I said, well, we take down 2 cars a day? No, take one. Because everything is a bite on the pocket. Right? But do we believe that God will provide? You might not have it like you wanted to have it. And you probably don't have it the way you wanted to have it because God's challenging you. God's challenging you. Amen. Amen. He is challenging you to step up to the plate and be what he wants you to be. But then there's something he's just going to bless. Listen, y'all, let me tell you something before I close. You might think that some people are crazy because they get so excited about God. But the more excited about God and the more diligent you show God, the more blessings come out. I'm telling you. You say, man, that brother Greg, he's crazy. I'm like, look. How is that, brother? For the Holy Ghost. Jesus! What is wrong with him? Because why? Because I have been blessed ever since I've had the Holy Ghost. God has poured many blessings in my life. I mean, one time the Lord gave me so much that I had to say stop. That's how much he was blessing me. And I'm talking about financially. He was blessing me. I had to say stop. I started feeling bad.
the Lord would bless me every time I go somewhere. You know, either it was I look for a new suit, and I think that, you know, the very new suit I liked, man, that suit was $200 a week before, and now that suit is $50. Things like that was happening. All types of things was happening. The Lord was just blessing me. Blessing me. Everything I touch, everything I do. I felt so bad. You know, I felt so bad because I know that, Lord Jesus, I got a lot of things to work out in my life. But you know what? I was serving him diligently. I was doing everything I knew to do. I shout, I run, I do everything, hallelujah. I didn't care whether I did in the flesh, I did in the spirit. If it said Jesus, I do it. Amen. And the Lord blessed me and blessed me and blessed me. And in every time, he really blessed me because he gave me a good wife. He never stopped blessing. Then he gave me 4 children. He never stopped blessing. Then he put more food on our table, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet. Never stop blessing. Because if you serve him with all your heart, soul, and mind, you will be blessed. You will always be blessed. Always. Amen. And you'll have days and times of struggle, but it'll be worth it all. Let's stand, y'all. I done held y'all long enough. Amen. I'm trying to get people excited about serving God so God can do something special in your life. But the flesh can hold you back. Because when you have a different agenda than God, God can't move. His hands are stagnated. The black horse is out. It's running from the north to the south. The blessings of God for the church is alive and available. Stop ducking. Stop hiding. Step up to the plate. Why am I trying to say? Because why I'm saying this? Because you know what? I say this because of this, and I pray that what I say right now brings great conviction upon some of you. You're robbing yourself of a blessing. You're robbing yourself of a blessing because you'll find out that as you go your way, is only going to be poured out more emptiness, more broken promises, and more broken situations. That's all. That's all. That's the only thing that's going to come out. That's the only thing that's going to develop. And you'll come back to me and say, you know, I think you got a point, Brother Graham. Some might not want to admit it, but that's all right. You don't have to admit it to me. The results are evident in your own life. So you don't have to tell me. You can hide it from me. Some people do. That's all right. You can hide it from me. You can't really hide it from me, but you think you can. Because if you could, I wouldn't be preaching what I'm preaching. The Lord wouldn't inspire it upon my heart if he wasn't trying to prepare the church and he could bless the church and maintain the church and keep the church and strengthen the church and undergird the church. But if you've been hard-headed for a certain amount of time, it's kind of hard for you to change. My grandmother used to always say, a hard head make a soft behind. Is that all right? Soft, too. But when you hit it, boy, it hurts. Huh?